IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to this episode of the program Viewpoints with me, Attar, the host of this program. With me in the studio, I have two special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Hussein and Sister Zainab. Shaykh Hussein, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you and to your dear listeners.
And Sister Zainab, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum salam, brother, and also to all the listeners.
Thank you. All right, for today's discussion, I want to talk about the role of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam in safeguarding the message of Karbala. Mostly when we get to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, we find that, during the Karbala and Ashura event, he was sick. So that was the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was sick so that he is safeguarded for the line of Imamat. So Lady Zainab took care of her, of an imam. And then when getting back to the city, you know, he's in prison, somehow in confinement. And for so many years, he is busy with worshiping, and because he was under control, few were allowed to have contact with him, in fact. But still, the line of Imamat goes on through Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. So, how his supplications, his prayings, his worshipings, he was Sayyidu Sajjadin, you know, the best of the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How his worshipping could save the line of Imamat and the Shia legacy. This is a major question for today. Shaykh Hussein, let's start with you. First, give us a picture of Imam Sajjad's role on that time. I mean, especially in the post-Ashura movement.
Yes, when it comes to the time of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, we should consider certain elements. One of them is that the tragedy of Ashura clearly changed the course of history in both in Islam and in Shia sect. Because we see, this is clear and obvious, that we see the change of the tactics of the Imams. The strategy of Shia, did not change. The strategy of Shia was to revive Muhammadan Islam at whatever cost possible.
All right.
But then the tragedy of Ashura showed that people might not be ready for that form of the revival. And still the Imams, they had their divine mission to carry on. And again, considering the realities on the ground, is that you, after Ashura, you have the uprising of Tawabin.
Yes.
And there are remaining Shias that are killed there. Mm-hmm. And you have other areas that... So she is under severe persecution. And the Imam virtually start from zero. Mm-hmm. Start building a community.
Yes.
And this takes a while. You see the fruit and the results of the project that Imam Sajjad starts at the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam.
Yes.
After two generations.
Yes.
When you see that big community of Shia, and now the formation of Shia as a fully fledged sect.
Imam al-Baqir was living at the story of Karbala.
Yes,
too?
He was four.
Oh, he was four.
He was four.
He was
at the
present
time of Ashura, yes.
So in the caravan that was taken from to Damascus?
Yes. There are reports that he says that I remember something.
Wow.
So yes, Imam Baqir was there.
Mm-hmm. Two Imams, so over there.
Yes.
Okay. That's it.
And but he was not the immediate issue of Imam Hussein, so you needed Imam Sajjad as the next Imam and then Imam Baqir. So that is the condition when you want to build a community from zero. Another thing is that the propaganda that these people, I mean, the enemy had against the Ahlul Bayt was that these are Kharijite, these are the outlaws, they are out of the fold of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
But then you see in the supplications of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, it's not just a supplication, high level spiritual teachings.
Yes.
Actually, there's this saying, there's this story, which is a true one. Some people were reciting Dua Kumail, supplication of Kumail in Medina. Some people went to these those who were reciting and said, who is this supplication from? And that Shia person who was reciting, he was smart, says, it must be from Amir al-Mu'mineen. So everybody knew that this kind of knowledge is not normal. Mm-hmm. So with Imam Sajjad also the same. People could instantly realize that these lines come from the house of the prophethood. And those who are accusing these people of rebellion, those people who are accusing these people of being outlaw or kharijat out of the fold of Islam, they're actually having a political agenda.
That's right.
That was very important.
So you mean Imam Sajjad's stance was absolutely right because the Ahlul Bayt were accused of being outlaws, mm-hmm. knowing nothing about Islam. So now through this new corpus that is being made, I mean supplications, worshipings, and the texts, which were at the beginning in the form of the letters, isn't it?
Some of them.
For example, Risalatul Huquq was in terms. And Risalatul Huquq, really, you know, I'm shocked when I look at the text today that how much applicable it is today in terms of the neighbors, in terms of the teachers, students, parents, even environment, okay? Mm. So body, come on, the rights of the body. And that's great. Okay, so how worshiping and supplication can be used as a shield? I mean, this is really good. I mean, so many times, for example, supplication, worshiping is a personal, individual experience. It has nothing to do with the society. But I think now this time Imam Sajjad gives a new color.
Yeah, and obviously, when we look at what Imam Sajjad was doing, we have to, as Sheikh Latifi obviously said, we have to consider that what the role of all the Imams is to obviously safeguard the true Muhammadan Islam and continue that mission, and so that mankind can obviously be brought to salvation. And obviously, in the Ahl Bayt have also told us that, for example, no matter how much we love the Ahl Bayt, on Judgment Day, if we just proclaim, "Oh, but I've always loved the Ahl Bayt," that's not going to be enough. So the Ahl Bayt are also training us to follow the Quran, to follow Allah's commands. That's what they want to see from us. So it's obvious because we know in the historical context that obviously at the time after Ashura, so when Imam Sajjad was writing the treatise on rights and the supplications, Islam, as we sort of know it now, it had really sort of been, it was being destroyed, it was being hollowed out. And so really, so it's like a bit like an empty shell. The danger was it would just turn into an empty shell of performing some prayers and having sort of no real sort of deeper meaning. And so obviously what Imam Sajjad was doing, what all the Imams do, is to, in a sense, link this to the actual mission, link this to the Quran, to safeguard this, because obviously the what can we say? So Islam, so the message in Islam is very deep and it permeates everything. There's no such thing as a shell of Islam. Islam is the core and Islam is everything outside of that as well. And this is really the huge work. And without the Imams, so without, for example, Imam Sajjad at that point in time, that would have disappeared.
Yes. Ziyara Aminullah is from him too, isn't it?
Yes. Ziyara is another part of the discussion.
Nowadays, just look, every Muslim, every Shia Muslim, when pays the wizard, pay the homage to the holy tomb of the Shia Imams, one of the texts is Ziyarat Aminullah.
Ziyarat Aminullah is very important. Yeah, you may even dedicate one whole episode on Ziyarat Aminullah.
Yes, okay.
I want to talk about a misunderstanding about the life of Imam Sajjad.
Yes.
Might be that, well, after Ashura, Shia Imams put aside politics altogether.
Uh-huh.
This is wrong understanding.
This is wrong. Okay.
Because political campaign is not just war.
Okay.
Imam Khomeini has a line which is very good. He says that the crying for Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, shedding tears for Abu, is a political tears. Ashki siyasi. This is political.
Political.
It has a political message. So by keeping alive the memory of Karbala, like having majalis of mourning for his father, and also ziyara, paying tribute and kind of reviving your allegiance to the Imam. The ziyara is completely different. I mean, we can discuss how it helps develop the spiritual bond between people. The person and the Imam being an event that is participated by many people like the Arba'een, like in Najaf. So the ziyara has even more political message in it. So people who think that political campaign means just uprising in a hardware sense, no. The Imam Sajjad alayhi salam In all of these steps that he took, he wanted to keep the message of Ashura alive, especially in keeping the memory of Ashura. Like in every occasions we have in the reports, like in every occasions, he would find a pretext to remember and remind people of Karbala. Like, for example, he would see water, he would remind people that they killed my father when he was thirsty. He would see different things. And this is actually, as I said, Imam Khomeini says, the tears for Karbala is political tears.
That's right.
Stars, your eyes pull me to you, who are you? I walk in the day with millions of angels. I see you in all these faces, who are you? One step I fade away, the next step I'm born again. You're flowing.
Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was given the title Ibn al-Khiyaratayn, isn't it? The son of the two bests. And this is what Imam al-Baghir talked to him. And when he was asked why, he said that because he is from the two of the best of the clans, of the possible clans of all times. One of them, Quraysh, and the other ones is the Ajam, which was the Persians. We can't say wrong, because we know that the mother of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was Persian, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, yeah.
So, I mean, this might have a role even in establishing the Shia thoughts in the Persian lands. And when today, you know, when, because most of the time the Persians nowadays in the media are accused that you were born after the Safavid era or something like that, okay? It has deep, deep historical roots in the history of the world.
The historical context is this, that the Amawids were very racist.
Yeah, okay.
Even in the Ashura, is a manifestation of Amawids not understanding Islam as a global message, but a tribal fight that we have to win.
All right.
Even after that, they took everything. Racist people are like that. They see everything through the lenses of racism. So we have reports that the second caliph had told people to keep the amr, which means keep the governance among the Arabs.
Yes.
So they had this policy that the rulers should be Arabs. And they were very much oppressing the Ajam, non-Arabs, meaning Babylon, Persians, other conquered lands.
Yes.
So this would create animosity. Ahlul Bayt, on the other side, they would tell people that the message of Islam does not have anything to do with any race. It's a global message for everyone. That's very important.
Yes.
That's, we have two types of Islam. The type of Islam that is promoted by Amawids, who took the message of Islam to be something they own. Like sometimes in Jewish tradition you see this. God blessed them. They thought that God is blessing an ethnic group. God was blessing them because of the belief and faith, not because of their blood. So some Arabs at that time, they twisted the message of Islam. In contrast to that, Ahlul Bayt wanted to show people that no, the message of Islam is not a local message. It's a global message, and everyone can participate, and you can see this in some symbols. One of these symbols is this.
Yes.
The marriage between Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Shahr Banu.
Yes.
And the celebration of this marriage by Imam Baqir ibn al-Khiratayn, that we are not saying that it's only Arabs. Even Persians can. And in later Imams also you have
the mothers
of the Imam.
African continents.
Yes,
that's right.
So that's the global nature in Shiism.
Very good.
That would welcome everyone,
really
even at the level of imama, at the level of imama, not just the followers.
Yes.
So by mixing the blood, showing that people, you should get out of this racist mentality. And if you want some signs, these are the signs, but these are not even important.
And the social reform on that time, Imam Sajjad freed so many of the slaves of the time through his own money.
It's not just freeing, it was a process of training.
Training,
empowering. Okay, these slaves, they did not have any privilege, they did not have any education. Mm-hmm. Imam Sajjad would buy them, train them, teach them, and enable them to have their own independent life, and then release them.
And Sister Zainab, this freeing of thousands of slaves comes hand in hand with writing a book, Risalatul Huquq, which is a treatise on the rights of the people. Very much modern, okay? I do want to say it, so many of the freedom seekers nowadays in the world are after a pamphlet or something to show them that what are their rights. So Imam Sajjad did it on that time, practically speaking and theoretically speaking.
Yeah, and you know, it's actually quite an amazing book. So, because in there, and this is, let's say, 1,400 years ago, roughly, something like that. Yes. And he's as you mentioned before, he's listed rights for so many different groups of people and almost entities. So, for example, he even has employers and employees' rights. I think he has sort of the rights of a debtor over the, and so everything. And then, obviously, the rights of different sorts of parts of the environment. And this is quite unique. So if people who, for example, work in, let's say, who have an interest in the environment, so and this, you know, for a couple of decades has been sort of, and it's still talked about, though it's sort of disappeared a bit because we've got something very important, the genocide, to be talking about, really. But when we look at this, the way Imam Sajjad has sort of compartmentalized all these different rights for the different things that are created by Allah. It's quite amazing because we can find everything in there. So in a sense that, and I think I myself have talked about the fact that, you know, if we have an animal in front of us that is obviously suffering in the heat, we should give it water. So the little animals have rights on us. So it's quite unique. And I would definitely say it's really good reading for non-Muslims to just dip into this and see.
Just have in your mind that the father of this imam we are talking about was brutally assassinated. So something that comes to my mind is that how much different these two looks are, the Umayyad ones and the Husayni ones or the Hashimid ones, okay? From one side, you have only revenge. From the other side, you have only rahmah, only mercy, okay? I mean, he could be after taking revenge. He could be after, for example, talking, I don't know,
writing something, Risalatul Intiqam, for example.
Intiqam, for example.
And instead of writing the episode on revenge, he wrote the episode of rights.
Yes.
So the contrast is sharp, as you can see. Yes. Actually, his father, I think the true word is that he was lynched. He was killed in a brutal Qatl al-Sabr. So everybody else would be traumatized to the level that they would lose their balance for the rest of their life. But you see that. No, the institution of imamah is a different thing. So they have their message to be delivered, and they deliver it in the best possible way. And
the next imam, Imam al-Baghir, the son of Imam al-Sajjad, who was nurtured and tutored in such an atmosphere, okay? Wow, like an explosion in terms of the science and the knowledge. Baghir al-Ilm, okay? He's splitting the knowledge open. So that must be something. I mean, this is not... all of a sudden out of blue, or for example going to university, this school of thought or that. No, he was nurtured by Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and all these as we said, corpus that are being created, whether in terms of ziyara or whether risala or whether we can say sahifatu sajjadiyah or the works of supplication, have direct role in shaping the character of
it has something to teach you at personal level that some bad incidents you can invest in them and turn them to the push for positive
changes.
Some people, when they have the first failure in their life, they just get despair and they start doing something that is not positive. But then at this level, still the imams, I mean later generations of the imams, are saying, no, this did not stop us. Actually, this become a kind of inspiration for us.
Motivation to
convey the message in a different way to later generations.
Yeah. Really beautiful. That's right. Thank you, Shaykh Hussain and Sister Zainab, for a nice elaboration regarding Imam Sajjad's role and how he changed supplication and worshipping into a kind of a spiritual resistance. It is very kind of you. And thank you much to the listeners. For more information, visit our website, iranradio.ir. Our new podcasts and live sessions are also uploaded over there. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Oh.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me. And I try to remember not to take anything for granted. 'Cause I know that one day, suddenly this will all come to an end. So my last wish is for you to be pleased with me.